I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. I'm very, very happy to be talking to a very exciting guy with a lot of imagination and experience of real life, which is a great combination, Chris Rawlings of Judo Launch. So, Chris, welcome back for the third and final segment that we're talking about today.
Thanks, bro. I'm just as stoked as I was on the first segment.
Excellent. Good. It's very important to have Americans that are stoked, that they're never just slightly pleased to be here. It always be entertained. So let's talk about venture funding, because this sounds like a sort of crazy thing to talk about. Before we even get to that, let's come back. We implied in our last episode, and those of you who haven't heard it yet, the two other episodes of Chris, which I think you really, really will benefit from listening to. The first one is about mindset, as well as Chris's journey through, you know, being a digital nomad just all over the world, really. I'm going to listen to it, is what I would say. Chris's story, there's a lot to be learned from it. Go to amazingfba.com/Chris R, and we will put all and any relevant episode links and resources there. Second episode, we just talked to Chris about the Judo Launch thing and how Western brands can launch themselves and how we're going to differentiate ourselves from the Chinese sellers. So tell us how the Chinese are doing it. They are growing really fast. They are doing some big stuff. They are a big threat, but also they, you know, we need to understand what's going on to be able to counteract that threat. So what is going on with the Chinese guys, dude? Why are they growing so fast?
Yeah.
How are they doing it?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because like I would say, yeah, it's definitely something to understand, but I wouldn't say it's really something to be scared of. It's just something to understand because it's a very different mindset, I think. And it has its strengths and it has its weaknesses as well, which is something that I learned from living here in Shanghai and also spending a good amount of time in Shenzhen as well. But I think so the major things that are different when it comes to the mindset of a Chinese seller versus the mindset of a Western seller is, okay, I would say, and this is just my frank opinion, okay? So people can disagree with this. There might be sellers on both sides of the spectrum listening, but this is just my own observation, so I'll preface it with that. But I'll say that China is very good at copying things, and it's also very good at going very, very quickly. I would say that it's less of a strength of brand new innovation, but it's definitely got the speed thing down. I don't know the story completely, but I remember hearing the story of the hoverboard guy, the guy that invented the hoverboard, so the like two-wheeled scooter type of thing, that by the time, after he invented it, by the time he had actually gotten to production, all the Chinese manufacturers had already beaten him to the punch and had already made it to market before he could even get there. Because they're so fast. And one thing that's cheap in China is people. So unlike the Western world, people are so cheap here. There's 1.3 billion, I believe. So you can just get, you don't have to worry about like writing some kind of software or getting some kind of program. You can just get more people, human brains, like the most powerful computer ever. So they have an amazing amount of human resources to do market analysis really deeply and competitive analysis extremely deeply and constantly be on top of changing price or launching a product that's trending. But the thing is, going back to the difference in between their ability to innovate first, copy quick, is that I think Chinese sellers are more likely to be very opportunistic. I don't think the brand identity tends to be less centered around a specific ideal person, and it's more just sell whatever sells and whatever is selling high volumes. So it's like, okay, these unicorn pool floaties are trending on Facebook. My trending team has notified me of that. I'm going to source it tomorrow and like get the first order out 5 days from now versus like what would take probably 4 or 5 months for someone who's based in the US or Europe to go through that whole cycle. If you're based here in China, you have those relationships already. You can make things happen orders of magnitude faster. So if you're trying to be an opportunistic seller and you're based in Europe or you're based in the US, you're going to lose for sure, because that is not your forte. That is China's forte. China can do that so much better than you, no matter how fast or good you think you are. Because not only do they have the people to do it, but they have money too. There is tons of money just being dumped all over the businesses in China by the Chinese government to help them expand very quickly. There's all kinds of grants available and investors who will invest in these businesses because they know that that is their strength. They have the ability to do that very quickly. So I would say focus on what you can do, because you're in these markets if you're a Western seller. And I mean, I'm not discriminating. You know, if you're a Chinese seller, I would say go for it, man. Do more of that. But if you're based in Europe or you're based in the US, do what you are strong at, which is knowing the customer. That is your strength. That's the thing that the China-based sellers don't have on you, because they're selling into Western markets, but you are in the market. So you do have this deep understanding of the customer. Use that. So do that thing. Focus on your brand identity, the brand character, the core of your brand, building an ecosystem or a community, or making partnerships with those communities around your brand. Because since you can't win the opportunistic way by chasing trends, you can win by knowing your customer better than the other guy and by going where they are more than the other person, going to their watering holes and, you know, being with the people who they respect, their influencers, their leaders, their educational leaders, their media, and building a community there. That's your strength.
Thank you so much for saying that. I think that this is possibly one of the most important episodes that we're putting out there at the moment, because there is such a strong incentive for people to be opportunistic, because for starters, you know, it feels quicker and easier, and quick is always good. Quick money feels more attractive than slow money, and all things being equal, why not? But I think you've just put your finger on a lot of things, and you know, because you're out there talking to these guys, but we've all suspected from reading what happens in the markets, which is looking at the latest trends means you lose, because we're fighting, you know, on somebody else's territory, you know, and it's like taking a knife to a gunfight, as they say. You know, you don't take a knife to a gunfight. It's a very American metaphor, but we try not to have gunfights in the UK. It's seen as bad form, but you know, it does happen. But it's true. It's like me going wandering into some Chinese guy's house and trying to do some kung fu moves on him. I don't know kung fu,
dude.
I haven't got a clue.
Exactly.
He's going to take me down every time.
And yeah, don't play on that battlefield. Don't even step into that arena.
Yeah, and you're right. And the other thing, there are two things that are screamingly obvious. If you follow an Amazon marketplace, even for a few months, and I would urge anyone who hasn't even gotten to the battle yet, just to follow a product for 3 to 6 months, it's obviously trending, like spinners, for example. What you'll see is a ton of listings come up, the price goes down, and those listings say things like, have happy time, you know, and the brand is called Wu Wu Zhu or something like that. Dude, there has been no effort on the branding. Their English is English. It's very characteristic, kind of full of English. It's kind of cute, but it doesn't really resonate with the market. Spelling's a bit wonky. So it's like, it's so obvious that they really know how to mass produce products, and they really don't know how to do branding. It isn't subtle. I mean, it's out there for anyone to read the runes, but yet there are people saying, just use this magic app that will give you the latest opportunities, and it looks good on paper and to a machine, and analytically speaking, and then just go and buy a load of this. And I think you've just nailed down exactly why that's a terrible idea if you don't do something bigger with it than that.
Yep. Maybe you can, like, for a while, like, play that game, but like eventually you're gonna lose, because you can't win on pricing. That should be completely obvious to you. You're definitely never gonna win on pricing versus China. Like, they have the relationships that you don't. They have the manufacturing capacity that you don't. They have the capital that you don't to make gigantic purchases and just, you know, get that bulk discount and throw that inventory in there and just fly through it. It's not going to win on the pricing. So once it becomes that pricing war that you said, you know, like with your example of the spinners, that's when you get crushed out. But if you do focus on those, on just the human, your ideal customer, getting into their mind and like where they go, where they hang out, what they do, what they like, what their problem is, then you're onto something.
Yeah, I think that we basically, that's it. We basically wrapped that up in some ways.
Yeah.
I think I don't want to get too much into this. I mean, we've got a whole other conversation that we've discussed about venture capital versus bootstrapped. I'm inclined to keep that for another day because I think that's huge. And I think we got Matt Ward coming on soon to talk about the funding thing.
So cool.
Very, very good.
Yeah. Matt's a formal advisor of ours.
Interesting. Actually. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, there'll definitely be more and more conversations around the funding thing because I think the money side, you do need some more money to play with these days to begin to compete, even if you are differentiated and have a great brand and stuff. And I think that is an issue that's coming up in all the masterminds I'm a member of, whether I'm running it for people who are doing 250,000 a month, they don't have the capital to grow to 500,000 a month, or whether it's people just starting out, you know, in my case, so I'm, you know, in the sort of tens of thousands a month sort of range and going, dude, we're never going to break through that ceiling unless we, you know, go and get some funding. So it's certainly an issue, but I think we'll get you back on at some point, maybe even quite soon to talk about that, because I think brilliant thing to talk about. But I just want to leave that stuff you've just been talking about resonating, because I think it's super, super important. Trying to compete with somebody on their own turf, it just doesn't make sense in terms of basic competitive thinking. And as soon as you take the bigger picture and stop thinking about magical gurus or magical business systems or magical software that's going to solve built-in sort of, what's the word, structural issue, then you stop thinking that. I mean, it doesn't matter how good my knife is. If somebody's standing at the other end of the street with a rifle, it's kind of over.
Yep.
So
true, dude. That's really, such a good metaphor.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. I mean, I think I've overextended that metaphor to a ridiculous degree. Chris, obviously, you've got amazing value that you've brought to the podcast. Thank you so, so much for coming on. I've been fascinated by this conversation. It's quite different from the usual take on stuff. It's much more thinking outside the box. And I guess that's your nature, having done everything from riding around New Zealand on a motorbike to hanging out in Shanghai right now, going after venture capitalist funding, and then, you know, communal living in San Francisco and whatever else you've done. I mean, it's an amazing life so far. So two questions. Yeah, first of all, how do people get hold of you to follow more about what you do? So that's the first question.
Yeah, we're actually doing about a webinar a week these days. So just to keep in touch, you'll see my face every single week if you just go to judalaunch.com and enter your name in our blog at the bottom of our blog or your email there, then you're going to see me every week. So it's not a podcast. I don't know why. Maybe it will be. We should talk about that, Michael. Maybe it will be a podcast at some
point. Happy to talk, yeah.
Yeah, but right now we're doing a weekly webinar. So, yeah, that's a way to stay in touch. And then also we put together – I talked to my team between when we last talked and now – and we put together just a little kind of bonus for your listeners. If they do want to go the Judo Launch route and use our stuff, then if they just mention your name, honestly, that's all they have to do. And they shoot us an email at sup@judolaunch.com, sup@judolaunch.com. They get 15% off, like whatever they purchase. So, that as well. That's pretty much it. And then the next time I come on the podcast, I'm glad we kind of set that up already, because I have a lot of thoughts around that funding and being, you know, backed capitally and getting more capital power. It's just a totally different route. And it's like the high speed growth route. And that's totally down my alley. So I'm
absolutely
stoked to talk about that.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward. I mean, I was looking forward to talking about that, but I think it deserves its own, you know, time and effort and a separate conversation, because I think that's very, very important. But also, like I said, I don't want to detract or distract from the really important things you've brought, even just in this last short episode, about where, you know, how to compete and where not to compete. I just think it's so obvious when you say it like that. You've got the perspective. You're an American in China, and you know, you can see this. So have you got any parting thoughts, Chris, for anyone who's either just starting out or just, you know, in the middle of that Amazon journey?
Yeah, I will say definitely, I think the one thing that has been the common thread between these three episodes between you and I is that we both agree that the stuff we used to think is hokey mindset stuff is actually the most important thing, is to have the right mindset. So if you want to grow, you know, quickly, you got to have a high growth mindset. If you want to just have a nice leisurely lifestyle business, then you should be happy having that mindset. But the mindset is what's key. And I think one of the most key mindsets to have is that you are a fluid concept. you have the ability to change. You are not a static person. You're not a static being or a static entity. You're fluid. You're dynamic. You're constantly changing. So if you're if there's something about you or there's a way about you that you don't like or that you want to change or a way about your business that you don't like and you want to change, you can change that about yourself by reprogramming your own mind. You have the power to do that and changing who you are as a person. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you a traitor. It doesn't make you a follower, a poser. You should be changing yourself and should be improving yourself, and you can change and improve yourself. So yeah, those would be my parting thoughts, Michael. For
excellent,
your audience.
Properly spoken like a San Francisco resident. I have to say that sounds like the Californian, the best of California, which is the self creation, the self actualization, which I'm big on. I live in London, which is in Britain, and it's traditionally a very staid, fixed place in some ways. But actually, people come to London to reinvent themselves as well, because you know people come from all over.
Oh, the world.
And because London offers
global city.
I just think we have this sort of online melting pot like London now or New York in the 1920s, that online is the place you can choose to go and reinvent yourself. And as you said, you can invent yourself again if you feel like it's not right. And I like the fact that you're allowed to do that. You don't have to feel a traitor. You're giving us permission.
Exactly.
Great stuff, Chris. Yeah. Thank you so much for that thought and for all the value you brought. Real pleasure to have you on. We're definitely going to have you back and hold you to that. But meantime, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your thoughts.
Totally, man. Thank you. Have an awesome day. We'll connect soon.
Take care.